Blog Talk Radio.
A hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, then I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Oh, how he loves us, oh. Oh, how he loves us.
Yeah.
How he loves us, oh.
Redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you for joining us on tonight. This is Pastor Charles Ellis from Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, Texas. We're going to be dealing with a very interesting subject tonight, and dealing with why is it that I get so angry so fast? What makes me so angry? Why do I have such a rage boiling on the inside of me that nobody seems to see? So first I want to let you know about our location and information about our website. first of all, if anything you want to know about the church and who I am as a pastor, who co-pastor Patty is, this is my co-pastor, you can go to our website, which is www.harvestnewlifechurch.com, and you'll see all the information about the ministry, who we are, and what we're doing, and what our beliefs are in the ministry, and where we are headed in the season that we're in. And I'd like to always let you know that for the oncoming callers, you can call in. The call-in number is 347-637-1074. Once again, the call-in number is 347-637-1074. As you come into the studio, if you have any questions or answers during the course of the time of the study, just push your little one on the telephone dial and it lights you up, and I get a question mark from you, and we go ahead and stop and see what you have to say and see what everybody else has to say around you. But let's get right into this word. We want to go ahead and pray and open up the presence of the power of God and let him have his way this afternoon. And we just want to move, and we want to get some things situated. So why is it that most of us, as men and women of God, why do we get so angry? Not just people of the Lord, but people in general. And so we're going to open up with this prayer, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to hear just what the Lord has to say this afternoon. Father God, we thank you for every opportunity you give us to breathe the breath in our nostrils, to fill our lungs with air that we didn't even have to pay for, but you provided for us, Lord, when you sent your Son to die on the cross, that we may have the right to the tree of life. Lord, let the word be decreed as it goes forth, let the word be anointed. Let it be a transparent word in the name of Jesus. Let it touch the heart of every individual and who it may spear, Father God. Let it bring conviction to the point to let them realize and understand that they're not alone in this situation, that you are God. You are providing God. You are God of provision. Not just provision, you are God of health. You are God of promises, God. You are God of faith. And everything you have declared according to the kingdom of God, you will produce. Your word has also told us, Lord, in Proverbs, in Proverbs 84 and 89 and 34, that you are God, that your covenant you will not alter, you will not break. And so, Father God, as we come into this phone line, we ask you, Father God, to seal the lines. Let the Holy Spirit begin to generate and move throughout this very call. Let us come on the line to learn and understand how we are to come out of some of the battles that we're dealing with in our life, that we may receive that which you have in store for us. These things we ask are not of ourselves, but of the name of the Most High God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord, amen. Let's look at this word and let's see what's going on. What causes me to anger? What causes me to go into rage? What causes me to keep secret sins inside of me? So when someone comes to me and says something to me, I automatically just come unglued to the point that I say things that I ought not to say. Getting angry is very easy now these days. We look at a lot of things that's going on in the lives of people, you know, hardworking people, and some of their pensions are being slashed by greedy corporate America. People are losing their homes. People are trapped in what you would call a painful experience of illnesses, and that's very painful. Your job is taken away from you. Your house is taken away from you. You're upset about everything, and seeing that corporate America around you, they seem like always be climbing the ladder, but they cut your job and cut you down, and it seems like you have nothing that you're able to stand with. So our word today is, why is it? Why does it seem that we get so angry? Why do we get so upset? Why does it seem like the things that come against us, it seems to come against us in such a way that we get, unglued, unraveled in such a way that when people say something to us, an individual say something to us, whether it be a kind gesture, whether it be a good, a bad gesture, sometimes we get so angry, somebody say something nice to us, say, well, I don't see any good thing about it. What's so good about it? It is good. You better be glad you're living. Better be glad somebody came to you on this day to give you an opportunity to say hello to you. They know that you got the privilege, to be able to hear the word coming from another individual that God created that may uplift you and where you're going into, where you're at in your life. And so let's look at this a little bit closer. And so we as Christians find ourselves asking, why do I get so upset? Is getting upset a sin. His getting angry is sin. But let me read something from some notes here I took and some of my studies. It says, I look through the Bible and I find it in many references that anger, you know, anger has a lot to do with a lot of God's leaders. You know, you look at Moses and some of the things he went with the rock. You look at the situation that happened with Elijah and some of the things that happened down at the brook Cherub. You know, when Jezebel came against him, how he fled for his life. And there's so many verses in the Bible that talks about how the men of God had actually suffered some anger. Even Jesus Christ himself went through some anger periods in his life to the point that when he went into the temple, began to overturn tables, and he told them, you know, my house, the house of God, should not be made to a den of thieves. And so we look at a lot of these things, and we ask ourselves, Lord, why is it that I seem to be so angry? Why is it that I seem to be so upset about some of the things that's going on in my life? At the top of the show, we start off, we begin to say about how people are being just home wrecked, you know, how people are being outraged by some of the savings and pensions have been slashed by greedy corporate America, and how some people are just mad because they've been laid off from their jobs, or some people just can't find a job. Sometimes we're trapped in this illness, and it can be such a painful experience with all the things we need to provide for our families and that we may have to keep us moving in the way that God wants us to move. Now, don't get me wrong now. God is a provider. He said, I provide all your needs according to my riches. But what we look at most of the time, we look at the parallel things around us, and we begin to look at what's around us rather than look at the kingdom. Now, this takes faith. Nobody said faith was easy. But in the midst of us going through faith, we suffer some anger periods. And my question, and the questions I ask myself and everybody on the line, is anger a sin? Is getting angry a sin? Is getting upset a sin? Well, it only becomes a sin and when you do what is after that. When you conceive in your mind that you have such a pull against someone, and when you begin to demonstrate that action, then that's when it becomes negative in the eyesight of God. We're going to go through some scriptures, and we're going to look at some things. Matter of fact, we're going to start off, as you turn your Bible over to Proverbs 29 and 11. Let's look real good at Proverbs 29 and 11. Let's see what the Word of God has to say in Proverbs 29 and 11. It says, a fool gives full vent, listen to this, full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Now that's a very hard thing to do. And as we just kind of read about some of the things that people struggle with in a daily basis in their life, depression, situations, circumstances. You know, we talk about the home. We talk about the jobs, how greedy corporate America seems to be climbing the ladder. And we as Christian and men and women of God seem like we're not just it's almost like we're not meeting God's standards to a point. But, you know, we understand the devil is a lie. But, you know, don't look at the greed of what the world has, but look what God is doing and what he's promised in his word. And let's move on forth here, and let's look what it says in Proverbs 13 and 8. Before we get to 13 and 8, let's dwell a little bit on that Proverbs 29:11. It says, for a fool utters in his mind, but a wise man keeps it till afterward. Notice that. A fool utters in his mind. You know, a fool utters in his mind. He utters things that the frustrations of the enemy. He hadn't vented it yet. But as he began to get frustrated and overwhelmed, you heard me talk about on Sunday how sometimes when you're cooking something on the stove and it's covered with a pot, it can't breathe. It begins to boil over. It begins to make a spill. But the Word of God says in Proverbs 29:11, a fool utters all his mind. He utters all his mind. He speaks out. He says things. You know, he don't hold back. He just, whatever's on his tongue, he just loose lipped it. He just say whatever it is that he want to say. Don't care about how he hurt someone or what he say. But he say a wise man keepeth it in afterwards. In other words, when he say a wise man keepeth it until afterwards, I mean he thinks about what he says before he says it. Now let's look at a breakdown period of what it's saying in this particular chapter. It says a fool is one who ignores the Bible. In other words, one who ignores instructions. And we're going to go over to Proverbs 13 and 18, and we're going to talk a little bit about that instruction process. But it says a fool who ignores the Bible, who is thereby given in his mind that Christ has no control over what he has to say. In other words, there's a fool who gives and ignores the Bible, thereby giving his mind. He don't worry about instructions. He don't hear what the Word of God says about slow to anger, be slow to speak. He don't want to hear that. Just that the thing that he's going through right then and there, he just want to blurt it all out. He just want to vent. He just want to say what's on his mind. He want to get it off his chest. You know, so he's not going to obey the instructions of God, that how you hold your tongue in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through and let God fight your battles. We so eagerly want to reach out and touch somebody with a word that we got some kind of get back. And the Word of God talks about trying to get back at people. And if you understand the process, God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. It's supposed to be not in our nature as being leaders and representatives of the kingdom to show that when we get in a terrible situation, we get in a conflicting situation, that we will rise up, begin to vent out, say spicy language in such a way, and then we want to go back and ask God to forgive us. No, you can't do that. You know, as he says in Proverbs 29:11, a fool utters all in his mind. He just pours it out. When he get angry, he has no holes whatsoever. We talked about in Jeremiah about those broken cisterns last week, how we talk about how in India and in Africa, how they take the clay pots and they have to put them on their heads, and they got to walk so far to fetch the water that they need for the provisions of the house. But those pots that they make and create, it's got a lining which is water-coated, and it causes the pot or the cisterns, as we speak, not to leak. And in that long travel while carrying that water, and they get back to the hut or whatever that they stay in, whether it be a small village, that water is needed for cooking, and sometimes it's needed for washing. Sometimes it's just needed for some of the most important things. But what, Pastor Ellis, what are you saying here? That when you get back and you seem to have a cistern, you as being a god, you say there's a word that's trapped inside of you. You got a word that's in a clay jar. You got the power in you. But when you begin to leak out, and I'm teaching on here about a couple of weeks ago, we talked about over in the book of Ephesians, and we talked about how to put on the whole armor. And this process of being a cistern from God, a man of God who knows how to hold and know when to fold. In other words, you got to know how to align yourself with the Holy Spirit. That when you fill with the power of the Holy Ghost, what leaks out of you is going to be the pure water that represents the power of God. But when you have a broken cistern and you are just leaky and you never can carry the possibilities of the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and if it's not pure water by the Holy Spirit that's in you, that something else is going to leak out of you. In other words, when you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not baptized, filled that and therein with the Holy Spirit, when you begin to speak strange things that come out of your mouth and not pertaining to the kingdom of God. Because a man of God and a woman of God understand that his tongue is tamed by the Holy Ghost. So in this chapter, in this particular verse, we speak on it. He said, a fool who ignores the Bible and thereby gives his mind, which is not the mind of Christ, and thereby spoils, he messes up everything around him. His wisdom is earthly wisdom, which will just blast. It will not bless. It will just cause confusion among the enemy that's around him. And it seems like we see the old saying. We talk about how honey attracts, how the opposite attracts. When you seem like something terrible is going on, everybody want to come around it. When we was young and there was a fight going on, there was something was going on, everybody wanted to go and instigate. See, negativity attracts. But also positivity attracts as well. So we want to be in a positive attraction when we're dealing with the Word of God and understanding what God is saying for us in our lives, that even as we get angry, we got to be able to maintain not to just blurt out or say anything that's unwise, because we are being watched. And the Word of God does declare that every idle word that comes out of your mouth has got to be judged. And you got to stand before the judgment of the kingdom. And as we go forth and begin to realize and understand what God is saying here, it'll come to you as more that when your mouth, it controls that things that are around you. If you get into negative conversation, guilty by association, do you attract negative demons and negative opposite things that have come towards you. I hope I said that right, with negative opportunities that come towards you. Well, let's move on here. Let's look at Proverbs. Let's turn over the book of Proverbs. Let's stay in Proverbs. And let's go to Proverbs 3. I'm sorry, Proverbs 13 and 18. I'm going to turn along that with you. Let's switch our Bible. Let's go. We're still dealing with anger now. We're dealing with anger. Why do I get so angry? Why is it? What is it in my heart? It's something I'm still dealing with. Waiting. And when somebody says something to me or something happened, I'm still just staying angry. You know, even though I love the Word of God, I minister the Word of God, I pray, but there's still something. It's a hidden agenda. There's something in me that it quite hasn't loosed yet. And we're going to find out what the root of that is by understanding the Word of God this afternoon and doing just what the Word of God has said. Now, it says over in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 13, and Proverbs 13, verse 18. I got a little lost there for a minute. And it says it like this in Proverbs 13 and 18. There is that that speaketh like a prince of the words, but the tongue of the wise is health. Now, that's a little different when you think about it. You know, it says that he that speaketh truth. When you look at the 17th verse, is that he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Now, because when you get into the 18th verse, it kind of throws you a little bit, but you got to go back. Matter of fact, you can take it back a little further than that. It goes over in the 14th verse of Proverbs. We look at Proverbs 13 and 14, verse 14. It says it like this. I was in the wrong chapter there, ladies and gentlemen, but I want to make sure I get this right here. But I want you to back up. In my notes, I was looking at something a little different. Excuse me on that. That's my error. But I want you to go back to the Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, and let's look at 14. And that's at 14 through 18. That was my error on that. We're going to get over to 13 and 18 in just a second. But let's go to 12, 14 through 18. And let's listen to what it says. And that's my, I apologize for that mistake right there. It said, a man should be satisfied with good by the fruits of his mouth, and the accomplishment of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Now, that speaks loudly. In the 15th verse, the ways of a fool is right. Now, you know, where God said it's a way that seems like to a man, but the end is death. Now, Proverbs 12 and 13 and 14 says, the ways of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that is wise hearken unto counsel is wise. In other words, I'm reading from the NIV. Now, I'm going to read it over here in the King James Version. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. 16th verse. A fool's wrath is presently known, but prudent to a man's covenant shall be he shamed. In other words, his prudency, the way he utters things out of his mouth, you know, the way he says things, but a prudent man covets shame. He brings in, he don't have any kind of delegation with his words. He just, what you call, I said, like loose-lipped. He just say whatever he feels. He backs himself back up to verse 15, you know. He doesn't know the way. He doesn't hearken to the counsel. He just want to say what he want to say. And sometimes, and most of the time, sometimes the mouth will get you in more trouble than getting you out of trouble. But he goes on and says over in the 17th verse, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Now, that's a good word when you're talking about, you know, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. So, Pastor, what are you saying here? What are we saying here? What are we trying to say here? The Word of God gives you wisdom and direction. If you read this Word in a time that you come into dilemma, that you come into controversy, you will automatically know how to kick into this gear. And you will not do opposite what is said in Proverbs 29 and 11. You won't just utter and speak out spicy words and say things. In other words, your mouth or your mind won't go to melting like a candle, and you're so boiled up inside that you can catch a hernia or something, or you can get a herniated whatever it is inside of you, or go into a stroke. You just got to lay still and wait for God to be able to avenge you on those who are coming against you. Remember the Word of God says, touch not my anointed, or do my prophets no harm. Now, understand what I'm saying when I say that. If God is the one to fight your battle, then it's going to be him that's going to avenge you. Matter of fact, let's go over to the book of Psalms 37. Let's turn to Psalms 37. Those of you who know your Bible, just go backwards. Just go back to the left. Let's go right over to 37th verse. And we know this scripture. This is a very familiar scripture to most of us who sometimes deal with troubles in our life and people who come against us. We depend on God to be able to help us. It says like this in Proverbs 37, for those who are in your Bible, fret not thyself because of what? Evildoers. People who come against you. You know you want to say something to you. You want to say something back to them, but you got to hold your tongue. You got to know that God can deal with them better than you can. Because I'm telling you, men and women, God will punish you in ways that you won't even imagine. Fret not thyself, it says in Psalms 37, because of evildoers, neither thou envious against the workers of iniquity. All the scams that they're trying to do behind your back, all the things that you don't see, that even when they come before you, and begin to try to shout you down and say all kinds of stuff about you. God say, hold your peace. Don't be like the fool over in Proverbs 29. Don't just start speaking out and uttering things and mess your blessings up. Because usually when something's coming against you, something big is about to happen. And the devil is trying to get you out of your comfort zone to call you out and send you back to opposite to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. So remember what it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither thy workers against iniquity. You see, for thou shalt soon be cut down like the grass, and whether as the green herbs. That stuff is all going to come to an end. If you put it in the hands of God, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, so that I dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You're going to be fed. You know, it means God's going to bless you in whatever you're dealing with and whatever you're going through if you just know how to let God fight your enemies for you. Let him fight your battles. Speaking of fighting the battles, we're talking about the anger process of not being angry and listening to the word of God and what he has to say to help you to move forward, to help you understand that he's going to want to avenge you out of everything that you're going through. Let's see a significant story over in the book of 2 Chronicles. Let's roll over to the book of 2 Chronicles. Now we're dealing with, why am I getting so angry? But you got to understand the verses that I'm taking through is wisdom, that if you take these instructions, you'll know how to handle yourself in the midst of a dilemma, in the midst of a situation, in the midst of a heated argument or a heated situation that's going on in your life. You'll know how to handle yourself. You won't just do opposite, we say again. Once again, you won't do opposite of what Proverbs 29:11 said. You just won't speak out and start uttering and saying things that's not God-like. But instead, you let God fight your battles for you. So as I said, let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles. And let's look at a familiar story that happened to what we call Jehoshaphat. That Jehoshaphat was a godly man. We know the story about Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. But as we go on in 2 Chronicles 20, we know he began to, after he got blessed and he trusted God, he began to link up with some other kings and cause other things in his life that God took his hands off of him. That he had to be able to pray to God, for God to give him back the blessings that he had for him before. But let's look at 2 Chronicles. Let's look at 2 Chronicles, and let's begin. I'm going to break this up a little bit for the sake of time. Let's look at the first verse of 2 Chronicles 20:1. And it came to pass after also the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with others beside them, the Amorites, against Jehoshaphat, to battle. Now, notice he said, some more people came with him. Psalms 37, just told us, fret not because it's an S plural. Fret not because of evildoers. There's a lot of people that want to do you evil. You know, it's not just one. But in the same token, Jehoshaphat was a man of God, and he began to understand that there was the Amorites coming against him, and there was some others beside them. They was all ganging up to come against him. And then, as it says over in the third verse, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek God. And that's what we got to do. When it seems like the enemy comes against us like a flood, we're going to have to seek God. when these Amorites, these Amalekites, all these different kind of demons coming against us, all these different kind of things are coming at us, we got to understand that we got to set forth and we got to stand still and we got to wait on the Lord. The Bible said those who wait on the Lord, he will renew their soul. They'll take up the wings like eagles. So our job is when we're going through dilemmas, and even when it don't seem like things are moving in the direction we want to move in, we got to stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. And he will revenge us in his due season, in his due time. Now, as we go on and look at the third verse, Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself and seek a fast. He set himself to seek a fast, and seek the Lord, and proclaim the fast throughout all of Judea. That's the same thing with you. Whatever the dilemmas is that's going on in your household, whatever dilemmas is going on around you, whether it be jobs, whether it be home, whether it be slashing your income, whether it be kids, you got to deal with those things that's trying to come in around you. This is so significant, ladies and gentlemen, how God is really linking this study up with our last study, who was dealing in the book of Ephesians, when the book of Ephesians kept telling us to put on the full armor. So you got to put on the whole armor of God that you might withstand the wiles of the devil. But he comes right back and tells us in Ephesians 6 and 16 that these fiery darts, wherewith you take up the armor, that you resist the fiery darts of the enemy that comes against us. The same thing Jehoshaphat was doing right here in 2 Chronicles 20. He was taught, he went to seek the Lord about some things that was coming against him, some people that was coming against him. And what did he do? He set forth a fast. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a book that I've been reading. It's called The Blood Covenant. What you look at and what Jehoshaphat did, he set a blood covenant before Christ. And you understand the blood covenant he set before Christ. He had to plead the blood. That what Christ done on the cross was available to him even now in the midst of his dilemma. The same thing with us. Christ went to the cross, died for the remission of our sins, that we may have the right to the tree of life. He gave us the opportunity to live in heavenly places. And we got to declare the word, and we got to set a covenant before Christ when we're going through these things and not get ourselves upset, bombarded, discombobulated, and throw all off course about a little bit of something and know God can do everything he said he can do. Jeremiah 32 and 17 tells us that over and over again. He says, God is a God that he will not lie. Well, he said that in Numbers 23, 19 to 21. But in the book of Jeremiah 32 and 17, he said, is there anything too hard for me to do? Y'all got to excuse me. Sometimes I get wind up in the spirit, and God get them moving in this thing, and I got to slow my pace a little bit, because I know some of you out there want to get these verses, and it's imperative for you to hear these verses and what's going on. I had a long day at work, a little tired today, but God is still giving me the reverence of what I need. These things came against Jehoshaphat. The same things are coming against you, whether it's dealing with your savings, whether it's dealing with your house problems, whether it's dealing with corporate America greeting you out of your money, whether against you being trapped in these sinful things that's going on in your life, these illnesses that's caused you to fall short of the things that God has promised you. There are some things that's going on in our lives behind closed doors that we know that we ought to check ourselves on. But we fail to do that because we say don't nobody see us. And that's the same thing that men of God who said over in the book of Corinthians. He said, but we are our own gods, but God don't see us. We make our own laws. We do what we want to do. I got to get that verse for you before we out to the day. But they believed that their law was better than the laws of Christ. They feel that they could do anything they wanted to do. Matter of fact, it's in the book of Exodus. I believe it was in the book of Exodus. When the word of God came to them in the book of Exodus, I want to look at this here and make sure I get you right here, because I'm not perfect in everything I do, but I do study to show myself approved, because I am a workman. Now, if I make a mistake on something, I want to know that I got to come back, because the Holy Spirit will check me. He will put a check valve on me and tell me to go back. No, that's not what it is, Pastor Ellis. You got to get that thing right, because they need to know what's going on here. As we look there, let's finish out this Chronicles, first of all, and I'm going to get back to that very particular story that happened when they began to, the priests began to do things behind the wall, and they didn't think anybody see us. They say nobody sees us. Nobody knows that we're doing these things. But as we look at the word 2 Chronicles, and We look at what happened with Jehoshaphat. He went to God and he declared a fast. As he declared the fast, he knew by the power of what God had demonstrated to him through Abraham that it was still yet good for him. Now, I want you to look at the part of here, Second Chronicles, in the second verse. In the sixth verse. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit to trying to interfere. Look over in 2 Chronicles 20 and 6. Now, listen to what the word of Jehoshaphat said, because he's backing up God's word, just as the word is backed up in Proverbs and Psalms 89 and 34. He backs his word up also here with the promises to Jehoshaphat. And with these people who are coming against him, the Amorites and the Hittites, they are coming against him. And it says over in 2 Chronicles 20 and 6, it says, O Lord God of heaven, our Father, art not thou the God in heaven, who ruleth not thou over all the kingdom of the heathens? All those negative people, he says, fret not because of evildoers in Psalm 37, over the heathens in thy hand. They're not the power and might, so that none are able to withstand thee. Look what he says in the seventh. He puts the icing on the cake right here. Art thou our God, who doth drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel, and giveth it to the seeds of Abraham, thy friend forever? Jehoshaphat said, look, if you've done it for him, you'll do it for me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you ain't got to fear about some of the things that you're dealing with. Your job is to trust Christ despite of whatever it may be that you're dealing with. You don't have to go out and get angry. You don't have to get malice. You don't have to get upset. You don't have to get thrown down. You don't have to feel like you're out on an island by yourself. You got to understand that God is in the midst of fighting your battle, and he declared his word to Jehoshaphat the same he declared to you. Moses had the word declared to him, and Moses got angry, but God didn't throw him away. He's not going to throw you away. God knows your heart, but what you got to do is set your heart toward God like a flint. And even when you're going through these angry things in your life, you got to believe that God has got the power to bring you out of whatever it is that you're dealing with that's causing you to fall short of the blessing that God has in store for you. One more word I want to tell you in the book of 2 Chronicles, over in the 14th verse. This is the power of God, how it came in the midst. It says, then upon Jehaziel, Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and Jali, the son of Mathaniah, the Levite, the son of As, came in the spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now look what it says in the 15th verse. And he said, hearken ye Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Means Jerusalem is the holy place. You of Jerusalem. And thou King Jehoshaphat, especially you King Jehoshaphat, because you the one gave me the story about how powerful I supposed to be over in 2 Chronicles 20 and 6 and 7. You called me out. So I'm about to show you who I am this day. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you got to call God out on his word. And then you got to stand firm on his word. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Hold fast in the faith to know that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And then you understand that he says over down here, when you look, he says in the 15th verse, he said, the battle is not yours, but it's God's. The things you deal with in your life don't belong to you. They don't pertain to you. You were purchased with a price, according to Philippians 2 and 5, that he went to the Christ, he went to the cross, his son went to the cross, and paid the price for you that you may have the right to the tree of life. You ain't got to suffer through financial shortness. You got to suffer through what a man of God or what a man out in the street. You've been a man of God. You have to suffer through the things that men out in the world have to tell you versus what God has already spoken into your life. He said you have life. You have it more abundantly. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you just got to declare and decree in the power of God that you don't have to get angry about anything, because God's word is a sure word that comes from the kingdom. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. I couldn't tell you the count times how many times I've had people to come against me, say all negative things about me and my wife and about our ministry and where we're not going and what we're not going to have. But God has declared to say, stand flat-footed in the midst of adversity. Stand right there and watch me perform my word completed. That I'll show you in due season, I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. If God gave you the vision, it's going to come to fruition. Your job is to stand still and hear, that's what to say the Lord, the word of the Lord.
No, we got to get ready. We're going to stop. We're going to kind of slow it down here a bit. We want to get back to the area of what we're dealing with, in the area of anger. But we want to make sure that this series that we're dealing with, I'm a little cranked up tonight, and I'm just, you know, I'm not as smooth as I usually be, because I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving in this. Because it's not only just me talking to you, but it's hitting me as well. The power of the Spirit is convicting me as well as I speak to you. Now, that's amazing when the power of God comes forth. And I'm telling you, I sound like an Afro-American Mexican sometimes when I go to speaking. I sound like a black Latino when I go to move, when the Word of God starts coming through me. But I want to open up the lines. I want to give leeway for those who want to have a word to say concerning this particular message or this particular study that we're going to be dealing with for the next 2 weeks. Tonight is the first night we open it up. We talked briefly about it on Sunday, but this is the night we're going to open it up, and we're going to run through this again for another couple of weeks, and we're going to hear what the Word of God has to say, and we're going to bind that demon of anger. We're going to get the blessing that God has in store for us, and we're going to declare and we decree that everything in our life is not like God is about to be shut down right here tonight. And we're going to trust in God, and we're going to believe that through Him everything and all things are possible. The lines are open for those who want to call in. The number is 347-637-1074. Once again, for those who want to call in, give their thoughts or give their mind about some of the things they're dealing with or is on the study. Let's go ahead and open up the lines, and let's call in at 347-637-1074. The line is off. The actual broadcast is in your hands for the ones who want to call in at this point in time. And I'll read on. As you push the 1 on your little phone, it'll show me that you want to have a question or have something to say. This is a new additive on the radio show that alarms me, let me know when people want to have something to say. They can say what they want, and I can respond by listening at the little icon that I see on the screen. I see one caller just flipped up, and so we're going to bring them in. We're going to hear what the Lord has to say. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Pastor Ellis from Harvest New Life Church. Over. You're able to speak out.
Yes, this is a great study, first of all. I've noticed in my personal walk that, you know, as far as anger is concerned, it's actually, it really amounts to a lack of faith. Because when we get mad, it's usually because we feel like, A, something isn't right, you know, he's not doing something right, or he's not going to do something. And we're really not trusting in the Lord as we should. And, you know, you feel out of control. You know, people get angry because they feel out of control of the situation. But when it's in God's hands, you're supposed to be out of control anyway. You're supposed to give Him the control. And then when you can't control the situation, then you get mad. And, you know, when you feel that anger coming about, you know, it's usually because you're doing too much. You're trying to do too much. You're trying to think too much. You're trying to handle too much. Versus just letting Him fight our battles. And when I notice, I let the Spirit rise up and, you know, say the very things that need to be said and do it how it needs to be done, I'm a lot less angry because I know God's going to do it better than I can do it any day.
Well, let me throw a flip side of that question to you. Is there times as a Christian you walked and you had the mind to want to sin, but you did not sin?
Yes, and it's, you know, it feels a lot better. At first, I know when you're new to the walk, you know, we used to be in loose lips and saying what we want to say, and it makes us feel better. It don't matter how the other person feels or, you know, how we want to act towards the situation or whatever we want to say to the person, it always makes us feel better. But, you know, it feels even better than that to know that, you know, you're letting God lead you. That you're letting the Spirit take over, and you know that the moves you make, you're not perfect, but you know that the moves that you're making are right because you're letting Him take over.
Let's look at something different on that. Since you said that, you know, and sometimes as men and women of God, I want people who call in, who's on this line, I want you to take your cape off. I want you to take your Holy Ghost goggles off. I want you to take your Holy Spirit cape off. I want you to be you, And I want to tell them, I want you to freelance this. I don't want to hear what God said this. I want to hear how things in your life has affected you because of some of the anger you have done. And the question I'm going to add to that is that, is angry or is getting angry a temptation?
Well,
first, I want people to take off the cape. I don't want to hear God did this. God, we know He's in the midst of everything, but I want to know the lifestyle in which you saw things in your life moving in a negative way. You saw that you had to make a change. You had to move in a different direction. I can't keep doing this. What sparks you? What were some of the things that happened? You know, was it friends? I mean, I'll let you comment on that.
Just when I was of the world, anything could make me angry, honestly. And that's what I had to realize, that anything can make you angry. When it's not going your way, or when, you know, somebody says something small, anything can make you angry. And I had to realize that to stop getting angry. I mean, I can get angry sometimes, but, you know, I let God control that, because everything can make you angry. And I came to a point in my life where I realized that, you know, living in my flesh, I was never going to be happy, because there was, if it wasn't one thing, it was another. And that's how, you know, that's how the enemy works. You know, when you, and that's what a lot of people think when they come to the knowledge and they get saved and they cover by the blood and everything gets smooth sailing, you know, those very things that would typically would even make you angry will make you angry.
Let me ask you a question.
Let's
move on that for a minute. Now, even though you become a Christian and you're a woman of God and a man of God, a child of God, whatever you want to call it, do you understand and realize that you're still in hostile territory? Do you believe
right.
that the enemy still has got the ability to tempt you? Because remember, he knows your past. Now according to Jeremiah 29:11, God knows your future. And this is one of the things I get with a lot of Christians, and they surface it out and they say, well, you know what? Jeremiah 29:11 say only I know the thoughts of the plans. Yeah, he does know the thoughts and the plans. Yeah, that's true. But in that note, you know, I hear people say how the devil peeked into your future and that's why he's coming at you. And do you believe that's true, or do you believe that's have any relevancy to Jeremiah 29:11? I want to hear your comment on that. You believe that the enemy has got the power to look into what God has already proclaimed, or do he got the ability to look at your past and stop you from getting what God has already proclaimed for you?
I don't think he has any power to do any of that. I think that's just his job. And when you're keeping your eyes on the hills and you're trying to get to God where God wants you to go, you know, he's gonna attack you even harder, because he knows you're trying to get someplace versus when you weren't trying to get anywhere but hell. Then you didn't have to try as hard, because you would just easily, you know, fall into those traps. And you would willingly fall into those traps.
Is temptation a sin? Let me present the question again. Is temptation a sin as of what you do after the temptation is sin?
Now, I think it's what you do after, because he's going to tempt you. And like it says in the word, he's not going to put more on you than what you can bear. So every time you're tempted, it's because you can overcome the temptation. It's not because you're too... You know, the enemy has no power. He only has as much power as you give him. So when you find yourself in a situation and being tempted to get angry or do things other than what God has, you know, buying you to do, then it's because God knows that you can actually prevail with his help. You can prevail.
Amen. We know, according to Matthew 4, and if anybody read the fourth chapter of Matthew, we know that Jesus was tempted by that wilderness discovery, you know, with John the Baptist. After he was baptized, he was tempted. But even as he was tempted, he did not sin. We know that Satan offered him almost everything that he needed. according to the world. But later on, we see in a walk with Christ, we see him getting angry. So forth goes with Moses. You know, Moses led the people. I mean, if I had 3 million and something people, not even mention the mixed multitude, I'd probably pull my hair out too. But they drove Moses into some of the things. And Moses really got tempted time and time over again. But at the same time, he really defended the people as well. So in this area where we are as Christians and called to be man and woman of God with the gift we have in us, is the devil or is things from our past still got the ability to tempt us and cause us astray? Or is the act that we in which we do it in the temptation, is it the thought that God convicts us on, or is it the after fact that he really drills us on? And that's a question there. And you said it's after it what really makes the big significance to God. You know, even though you were tempted, but you did not sin. Jesus was tempted, but he did not sin. Moses, in the Old Testament, we read about those guys, and they was tempted. We see it in Romans 7. Paul was being tempted by some things that he didn't understand in terms of what was going on inside of him. He was a godly man. You know, David, Bathsheba, we see these things. Are we a people that's so strong in Christ in the day of time that we feel that we can't be tempted or we can't fall short? That's a question.
Oh, no.
That's to anybody who want to put in. And, you know, I see you got a few people on the line here, but nobody's lighting up. But that's anybody who want to hit the question mark. I mean, it seems like you're the only one on the question mark now, so that's fine. You answer. You go ahead.
Yeah, and that's what I think about when I think about temptation is how Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. But he was tempted just it kind of reminded me that little scenario right there kind of reminded me of what happened with Job and how, you know, Satan tempted him by doing all these things to him, but it was, you know, like we talked about a week or so ago about the battle that's going on between the powers and the principalities, and, you know, this is a spiritual war, and how God let Satan come and tempt Job and come and try to discourage him with all these things just to show him that this is really my child. And that's what I think about when I think about temptation. I think about Job and I think about Jesus, because it was, you know, it was God needed to prove a point. To prove a point. He knew that Jesus was his only begotten son. He knew that, yeah, you can try to tempt him.
Amen. Let's look at this another end, and let's look at it. Now, we can't look at any other end. Temptation. But because Jesus represented what he says over in the book of Hebrews. He said, I am the author and the finisher. I believe it's Hebrews 12. Matter of fact, let's go to our Bibles and let's look up Hebrews 12. And let's look what he says in Hebrews 12. And I believe, if I ain't mistaken, I think he said, I am the author and the finisher of thy faith. I believe I'm right up in there. If anybody see anything else in any other way, let me know. But Jesus did declare, and I'll flip over here to Hebrews. If anybody's Bible reads any different, then let me know. Now, when we look at the term author and finisher, Jesus declared a word. And see what it says in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 says, in my word of God, he said, well, for seeing that we are compressed by such a great cloud of witnesses, to lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. And he says, look unto Jesus. Am I reading right? Am I been here anywhere? Look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, let me say something on that. Jesus was the ultimate representation of what we ought to be. It wasn't David. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't Paul. But Jesus set the tone. He set the mark. And if he's been the Christ who died for everyone to shed in the remission of our sin, he had to show that he was the ultimate call. That even though he was tempted, but he did not sin. Moses was tempted, but he did sin. David was tempted, but he did sin. But all of these people we're speaking of, even though Jesus was a perfect anointing, he was immaculate conception, he never, ever went to the point of falling to an area of just sinning. Now, people say, well, he went to the house of his father, and he began to turn over the tables, and he told the people, my father's house should not be raised as done things. Matter of fact, he went up to the house of the temple, and the Sanhedrin's house. And they supposed to have been the men and the model priests for Christ, but they began to sell sacrifices in the house for sacrifices. In other words, they was buying sacrifices. In other words, we selling lambs and sheep that's unblemished. Now, what am I saying here? Even though Jesus was a head, he was an author, he was a representative, he was a forerunner, he showed us the way things need to be done. John the Baptist said that himself. It's one who's coming before me whose shoes I can't lace. In other words, I can't run his track record. Moses couldn't run it. David couldn't run it. Paul couldn't run it, came closer than anybody, but he could make it. But he proved through the human flesh that it can be done. Jesus was born of a virgin verse. He was an immaculate conception. But wouldn't you rather have that kind of person to represent you? As you as being a human to say, okay, Father, your son has died for the remission of our sins. That when I slip and fall, the things that I have on me and the things of my past don't have to distort me from where I'm going. So this is what we say sometimes. People use excuse all the time that Jesus drank, Jesus sinned, and they have no scriptural reference and understanding about the Word of God. They just want to use it as a buffer to get out of what they're in. No, they're still living in sin, but they use these scriptures as buffers to get them out of what they're in. Now, you said a very critical point there, that it ain't what happens during the tempting. It's what happened after the tempting. People get temptations in their mind, but they don't act them out. That's a person that's looking to the Word of God. That's what Proverbs 29:11 says. The utter the sins, the utter the things in the physical mold, whether in the hole in your physical mold, as a representation for kings, for Christ here on earth, is what we ought to be. Not blotting out, not backbody, not talking about Christians, not putting people down, not saying evil and vague things about folk, but understanding that we got a shield that God has given us over in Proverbs, and in Psalms, I'm all over the place here tonight, Psalms 37, fret not because of the evildoer. They're going to come at us, especially when we say we're represented by Christ. The world want to test us. Now, when you say when they test us and tempt us, it ain't the temptation, it ain't the tempting that when it comes to our mind, it's if we follow through with it. I like when you said that. We don't follow through with the sin because it ain't the tempting. We get angry, we get tempted, but what we do after is the sin. God doesn't want us to vent our anger. We need to see what the wrath, what wrath is made. I don't know if I say that right. First place. So, I mean, you said something very strong there tonight. I mean, that was very interesting telling this message, this study tonight. I wish more would have joined in, but once again, I say that we're getting kind of behind on time. We thank the woman of God for coming in to share with us the conversation with us on tonight that enlightened up some things in the area of anger. But once again, I tell you, this is Pastor Charles Ellis at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, along with Patty Ellis, and we want you to go to our website, be a part of the show, come out and join us for one of our services. We do have an early morning service that we do have. It's not a big cozy place and all that, but it's where we want to be as of right now. So those who openly want to come in can join us. Just go to the website. It's www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. Now on that website, you're going to see the address of Harvest Point Church, which is Willie Portilla. Now, he's actually we're actually routing things over his way. But soon as things are moving the way they are now, God is pulling things in a way that we want to keep those things evenly balanced. so we won't pull away from what God is doing in this house and his vision and what God is doing in the vision of Harvest New Life. We are one kingdom of God. But God bless you. God keep you. God thank you for coming on the show. We hope you get a chance to see you this coming Thursday. And once again, we love you. We care about you. And if you need prayer, call us.
Oh,